Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and healthy right now. And of course, what else could we open with? The biggest news of the week in the sports world, LeBron James, after saying he seriously considered retirement, signed with the Philadelphia 76ers for his final run, he says, at another NBA championship. He announced that on Friday. James is now 41, and he signed a two-year, $8 million contract with a player option. Now remember, LeBron made nearly $53 million with the Lakers last season. But in a series of posts on X, LeBron addressed his decision-making, writing that he initially thought he was done playing after the season, before taking time to decide on his future. Here's what LeBron had to say. I was honest at that last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decided if I still love this game. But I still truly love this game and I have more to give. James chose the 76ers, which now is his fourth NBA team as he searches for a fifth NBA championship before he retires. James will hope to break a 43-year championship drought for the 76ers, much the same way he ended a 52-year drought without a title for the city of Cleveland when he won a championship for the Cavaliers back in 2016. But this will be James' final free agency choice as he enters a record-breaking 24th season. LeBron had more to say. This is my last decision. I'm not going for money. I'm not going for family. What am I really playing for at this point? I still want to sacrifice. I still want to work. I still want to grind. I still want to compete to win and to have a chance at the feeling of winning another championship. I believe I can help the Philadelphia 76ers, and I'm so excited to energize a new fan base and start this incredible journey one last time. Okay, a few thoughts on this big move. First off, LeBron never considered retiring. Let's just throw that out. Here's a guy that chases likes more than anyone in the history of ever. So he was never going to just slip off quietly into Bolivia, right?
I don't know, man. I might just fade into Bolivia, you know what I mean?
Second, hey, this team is kind of loaded. Remember, they have Joel Embiid, they have Tyrese Maxey, they have Vijay Edgecombe, they have Dominic Barlow, and they just picked up Jaylen Brown a few weeks ago from Boston. LeBron is now back in the East, which is a much easier path than over in the West. Hey, the Sixers are now the team to beat in the NBA, and that will be kind of fun. Don't get me wrong, the big money will still come in on the Spurs and on the Thunder to be the champions. But over in the East, oh, it's the Sixers to lose. But here's what's going to be fun. The rest of the country, aside from Philadelphia, and aside from just, you know, LeBron slurpers, will all have one favorite team this year in the NBA. Whoever is playing against Philly. Watch and see. That's coming. But let's be real clear. LeBron didn't join this team by accident. He chose the team that he thought he could join and go get a title with, just like he did in Miami, just like he did the second time in Cleveland, and just like he did in LA. And make no mistake, they will win games. But I will call my shot now. He has a track history of leaving franchises in worse shape than when he arrived. So here's my message to Philadelphia. Enjoy the ride because you're going to pay for it in years to come. I can prove that's how it's going to end. That's how it always ends. But I am interested in a few storylines here. One, how will Philly fans, some of the most belligerent fans on the planet, treat LeBron, especially if he doesn't meet expectations? That'll be interesting. Two, how will head coach Nick Nurse deal with being constantly undermined and outguessed? Also going to be interesting. And three, how does Jaylen Brown play into all this? Because, you know, he had to be thinking, I'm going to Philly. I'm going to be the man. I get away from Boston. I get away from Jason Tatum. And now I have a team that is all to myself. And to a degree, it will be kind of his team because he will be the best player on this roster, I believe. But what's going to be interesting is that Jaylen Brown and LeBron James, they kind of play the same position. I don't know how this is going to end up, but this is going to be theater. Get your popcorn ready. Hey, today on The Dose, we are going to begin about a month long of prep to get ready for the college football and NFL seasons. Well, unfortunately, one of the aspects that we must prepare for are head coaches that are going to have a very big microscope on them going into the season. Today, we will have a few college and NFL coaches that are going to be starting off on the hot seat. We will also have a Daily Dose top five for you today. Like we said, LeBron James is headed to the city, nicknamed the City of Brotherly Love. What could be in store for him when he arrives there? More on that a little bit later. But first, let's start off in the land of the NFL, where right now, you don't want to be in the news. If you're an NFL team, you just hope stay out of the news, because any news coming out right now isn't good. And here's an example. The wife of Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy was allegedly shot on Sunday night at the family's home in Virginia. Mia Bieniemy, who is 57 years old, was hospitalized in stable condition on Monday. And police in Virginia confirmed that a woman was being treated for serious injuries from multiple gunshot wounds, even though they did not disclose her identity. But wait, there's more, because Elijah Zion Bieniemy, 27 years old, was arrested and charged with malicious wounding, use of a firearm in commission of a felony, and discharge of a firearm inside of a dwelling, according to the county sheriff's office. That is the Bieniemy's son. Now, Eric Bieniemy left the Chiefs training camp and was not in attendance for Monday's practice. He was with the Chiefs on Sunday in St. Joseph, Missouri. But head coach Andy Reid said there is no timetable on Bieniemy's return to the Chiefs, adding that pass game coordinator Joe Blaymeyer will take over Bieniemy's duties during his absence. Hey, this is going to be a very difficult time in the Chiefs organization and for the Bieniemy household in general. We pray for the best for all involved. And we know that the Bieniemy family is going to get support from Andy Reid. Hey, who knows this kind of situation better than Andy Reid? Come to think of it, Bieniemy's son might end up living with Andy Reid's son very soon. One more story in the NFL, and it's not a good one. San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan suffered significant injuries in a car crash over the summer break in mid-July, and it's going to leave him limited as the team opens training camp. They say Shanahan broke his nose, three ribs, his hand, needed more than 40 stitches in his face, and suffered a severe concussion during a car crash that took place July 14th when he collided with an SUV near his Northern California home. Well, they say Shanahan is recovering from those many injuries, although he has lingering concussion symptoms. That is according to general manager John Lynch. Assistant head coach Chris Forrester will assume some of those duties until Shanahan is able to return, though Lynch said it would have to be a group effort to fill in for their head coach. And he added that while there is no defined concussion protocol for staff members, Shanahan will follow a similar process to what players go through in order to get clearance so that he can come back to work full time. Look, I don't know what is going on in San Francisco. I know there are rumors of electromagnetic fields that are getting players hurt at their home facility. I know the crime in the city has contributed to at least one player getting shot. And I'm sure there are probably a number of incidents of players, I don't know, just turning their ankle on human feces on city sidewalks. But now this curse, or whatever it is now chasing people down in their cars? California is a problem. I mean, no wonder LeBron left. No wonder Tesla left. No wonder In-N-Out left. No wonder the Raiders left. No wonder everyone is leaving. I kind of get it. This is some scary stuff. If you're in California, I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful, because things are happening in California. Finally, one last story. The WNBA held their annual All-Star game on Saturday in Chicago. And you know, the cool part about it was that even though they were playing all-star game defense, which is to say you know, no defense, we still got to see the product that we expected. I mean, I know they didn't play defense. There was no effort given. They were walking up and down the floor, but we still got missed layups. We still got air balls. We still got balls bouncing off of shins. And that was without any defense being played. So you know how they tell us, yeah, we miss layups. Yeah, we sometimes miss threes. Yeah, we airball things and we bounce the ball off our shin. But it's because of the tenacious defense. Yeah, that part's not true. Okay, look, this segment doesn't bring me any joy. I hate to see head coaches fired. I know we get mad when our teams struggle or whatever, but these guys are just trying to make a living. However, when you don't live up to expectations, the fans, and more importantly, the money-paying boosters get fed up and they demand a change. And right now, we are going to take a look at a few guys in both college and the NFL that are starting their seasons off on the hot seat. And let's start off in the college game. And we're going to start off down in Tallahassee, where Florida State head coach Mike Norvell's seat is capable of burning a hole in his pants. Norvell took over in 2020, and while it took him a few seasons to build the Seminole program back up, remember in 2023, they went 13-0 in the regular season. But then you remember quarterback Jordan Travis broke his leg, and FSU got bumped out of the playoff, and then they played Georgia in the Orange Bowl, and I think they got beat by, I don't know, like 100, 150, something like that. Well, Florida State hasn't even been back to a bowl game since. In his six seasons in Tallahassee, Mike Norvell is 38-34. He's only been to two bowl games. And this season, the schedule won't be kind. Florida State goes to Alabama. They go to Miami. They go to Louisville. Hey, Norvell had better rally the troops quickly. Speaking of Florida State, we have an FSU connection right here in my home state of Colorado. And of course, that is up at Boulder, where the bloom is off the rose that once was Deion Sanders up at the University of Colorado. Remember when Deion arrived at Colorado and people were just anointing the Buffs as a program? Hey, they're just going to reel in talent year after year. He's going to be the best recruiter we've ever seen. They're going to be back in the national championship conversation every single year. Yeah, that was funny. Since taking over in Boulder, Deion is 16-21 overall. That's not good, but wait, it's going to get worse because the Buffs are just 2-8 against ranked teams. So 14 of those wins came against unranked teams. More bad news, I saw the Colorado spring game. It didn't look good. That team looked like a high school team. And here's the bigger problem. This schedule could be a death sentence. Georgia Tech, Baylor, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Cincinnati. Here's the thing, though. The Big 12 isn't even all that good. But Deion hasn't produced the talent that everyone was expecting. Hey, the Buffs are going to have to start off strong this year, or it's going to get ugly real, real quick. One team that is no longer on that Colorado schedule features another coach that is on the hot seat. Oh, but I bet he wishes he could play Colorado this season because Nebraska's Matt Rhule is finding the going very tough in Lincoln, Nebraska. After he revived Temple and Baylor, Matt Rhule seemed like a guy that could go to Nebraska and get the Huskers back on the national map when he joined them in 2023. But it has not been easy. Do you realize Matt Rhule is just 19-19 in three seasons? And while Nebraska has at least gone to a bowl game the last 2 years, the Pinstripe Bowl and the Las Vegas Bowl aren't exactly impressing the Husker faithful. Well, now Matt Rhule this year is going to benefit from a softer schedule because Nebraska won't face Indiana. They won't face Oregon. They won't face Ohio State. Well, then you better do something. Matt Rhule had better win something this year at Nebraska, or he won't be around any longer because the Nebraska faithful are grumbling. They want to see some return. Okay, I know this next guy is only in his second season on the job. There's no way you should be on a hot seat after just 1 year. But when you're paying Bill Belichick $50 million, Yeah, the North Carolina Tar Heels are going to want to win something. The Tar Heels went just 4-8 in Belichick's first season on the job. But it wasn't really about the wins and losses. Hey, it takes time to turn a program around. No, it was more of the disconnect between players and coach. And it was more of the lack of competitiveness in the program. Do you realize that UNC's only wins last year were versus Charlotte, a what? D1 AA team, Richmond, same, Syracuse, who's awful, and Stanford, who should be a D1 AA team. Oh, and in those eight losses, UNC got trounced. They were beaten by a combined score of 260 to 123. So you were more than doubled up. And this year's schedule might be worse. TCU, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Louisville, that will be none too kind to Bill Belichick. If he doesn't have this group ready more than they were last year, it's going to get ugly. More bad news came in for the Tar Heels on Monday. UNC general manager Michael Lombardi was placed on administrative leave by the school. In the initial release, no details were provided as to why Lombardi will be out, but it should be noted it was the school who made the decision. This wasn't an athletic department thing. This is starting to feel like a bona fide mess. Hey, Belichick might be out of a job real quick. I don't know. Maybe Bill Belichick can fight Tom Brady in the next BS celebrity fight at this rate. Because I feel like Belichick might have nothing to do very, very soon. You know, we spoke earlier about people getting out of California. Well, if Lincoln Riley doesn't finally win a few big games at USC, he might be next. After jumping from Oklahoma back in 2022, Lincoln Riley has been okay at USC, just not all that great. In four seasons in Los Angeles with the Trojans, Riley is now 35-18, but his biggest bowl game was the Holiday Bowl a few years ago. It isn't, again, that the Trojans have been terrible. They are winning games, but against ranked teams, Lincoln Riley is 5-13. Yeah, that's not good. Well, the good news this year is that the Trojans will play every game at home except for one until mid-October. So they're going to get a good warm-up. They should be rolling. The bad news is when they do get rolling, they're going to face Oregon and Washington and Penn State and Ohio State and Indiana. Hey, the Trojans better get out of the gate fast. And they better rack up some wins while they're playing at home. And then maybe that momentum will carry. Otherwise, Lincoln Riley is going to be in some big, big trouble. One last head coach in college football to mention, and honestly, I probably shouldn't even mention it, and that is Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. Remember, Fickell jumped from Cincinnati to Madison back in 2022, and he started off okay. But over the past two seasons, Luke Fickell is 9-15 with the Badgers. And you know what makes fans really mad? Wisconsin can't score points. Last year, the Badgers averaged 12.8 points per game. Hey, kids, that's 12.8 points per game more than I averaged sitting at home on my couch. You barely outscored me. And here's worse news. The Badgers open against Notre Dame in Green Bay. Hey, Luke Fickell might get fired at halftime. Hopefully he hasn't been fired yet as you listen to this. Okay, but let's move over to the NFL, where there are also a number of head coaches that will start the season on a very hot seat. These guys have to produce, or they're going to be in big, big trouble. And let's start off with the hottest seat, and that is in New York with the Jets. Hey, Aaron Glenn is a former Jet. He played there, and he had done a pretty impressive job in Detroit getting the Lions defense to, well, at least not be terrible. They weren't great, but they were good. However, Glenn went 3-14 last year, the worst record ever by a Jets head coach in his first season. And New York made some history. They became the first team since the 1987 Atlanta Falcons to finish last in points per game differential, last in yards per game differential, and last in turnover differential. And the Jets have now gone 15 straight seasons without making the postseason. That is the longest active drought across the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. And no, I'm not saying the Jets have an abundance of talent, especially offensively, but why was their defense so terrible? They do have some talent on the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Glenn had better show some reason for positivity this year, or he isn't going to make it much longer. Now, it might seem a little unfair to put Shane Steichen on this list, but the Indianapolis Colts had a collapse for the ages last season. Steichen is set to enter his fourth season with the Colts. He has gone 25 and 26, but last year was wild. Remember, the Colts started 8-2 with quarterback Daniel Jones. It looked like Indianapolis might be one of the top teams in the NFL. And then Jones fractured his fibula, and then he suffered a season-ending torn Achilles in week 14, and the Colts actually went out and enlisted the help of 94-year-old grandfather Philip Rivers for the playoff push. Indy lost their final seven straight games. After starting 8-2, they finished 8-9. Hey, the Colts need to reach the postseason this year, or Steichen's going to be gone. I don't think that Colts fan base will stand for it. Now, our next guy, it's not entirely his fault, but Zach Taylor, he isn't producing nearly enough in Cincinnati in recent years. During the 2021 season, the first full season of the Joe Burrow era at quarterback, the Cincinnati Bengals went all the way to the Super Bowl despite only having a 10-7 regular season record. Well, the following year, Cincinnati went 12-4, even better. They went to a second straight AFC championship, but they were knocked off. Do you realize, though, that was the last time the Bengals even made the playoffs? Cincinnati has now missed the postseason three straight years, and last year's 6-11 season was painful. Not only did Burrow miss nine games after suffering a turf toe injury in week two, but the defense was one of the worst in the league. Last year, the Bengals became the first team in NFL history to allow 27 points and 350 total yards in eight straight games. That's unreal. And they're the first team since the 1966 New York Giants to lose two straight games while scoring at least 38 points in each of them. Hey, I realize Zach Taylor is an offense guy, and his offense has been pretty good, but he'd better figure that defense out real quick, because his job depends on it. Okay, this next guy probably shouldn't be on the list. We have seen that Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones will let his head coach stay on longer than he probably should. But what new head coach Brian Schottenheimer did last year with this team was abysmal. After taking over from Mike McCarthy last year, after the Cowboys went 7-10 in 2024, Schottenheimer went 7-9-1 last year. Okay, so about the same. Not too impressive. And the offense actually did score more points. They averaged 28 points a game, an improvement from just 20 points a game the year before. However, the defense went the other way. The defense was the worst in the league. The Cowboys had allowed 27 points per game under McCarthy. Terrible. They ranked 31st out of 32 teams. Well, they can't do any worse, could they? Except he did. That number jumped up to over 30 points a game allowed and ranked them dead last in the league. Now, will Jerry pull the plug if the Cowboys don't show some improvement soon? I don't know. He might not have a choice. He's got to do something soon, doesn't he? This franchise hasn't won a playoff game since Bill Clinton was in the White House. Okay, let's jump over to the NFC South, where the 2025 season marked the first time Todd Bowles failed to win that division as Buccaneers head coach. Last year's season, it was similar to the Colts season. Tampa Bay started off 6-2. Baker Mayfield was looking like an MVP candidate. And then they finished the season 8-9, going just 2-7 over the last nine games. The Buccaneers looked like an easy pick to win this division, but it actually ended in a three-way tie at 8-9, and the Carolina Panthers got in. Now, Todd Bowles is signed through 2028. He's 35-33 over 4 years with the Buccaneers, including a playoff record of just 1-3. Well, Tampa's going to have some changes. Mike Evans is gone. Lavonte David is gone. The Buccaneers were the best team in this division last year, and they still didn't make the playoffs. And that was a failure. And Todd Bowles has got to make sure it doesn't happen again this year. One final coach on our list today that might have you thinking I'm crazy to put him on here, but for all the talent that general manager Howie Roseman keeps bringing into the Philadelphia Eagles franchise, head coach Nick Sirianni's seat, it could begin to warm if they struggle this year. Remember his blow up on the field with wide receiver A.J. Brown last year? Brown is now in New England. And there are times that Nick Sirianni, he seems to try to appease players rather than sticking to a system to win games. He's kind of a weird dude. Now, being weird won't necessarily cost him his job, but if he starts to lose games or if he starts to argue with more players, yeah, this might not end well. Hey, the Eagles want another Super Bowl, and they need Nick Sirianni to be on his game in order to get that. Now, as we do so many weeks here to the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Speaking of that city of brotherly love, like we said at the top of the show, LeBron James is headed to Philadelphia to presumably finish his illustrious career with the 76ers. And like I said, LeBron is now 41. This will be the 24th season of his incredible career. How is it going to end? Well, it's hard to say. Yes, this team is set up to be pretty good. They are in the Eastern Conference, which helps a ton. That path won't be nearly as difficult as the West would have been. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But one other thing that I want to watch is how will LeBron be welcomed in Philly? Hey, we know Philly fans can be a bit rough. They will boo Santa Claus. They will throw batteries at opponents. They will cheer for injuries of opponents. Well, how will Philly fans react to some of LeBron's, let's say, antics? The flopping. The whining. And more importantly, what if they don't win as much as they expect to? Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 nicknames that Philly fans are going to give to LeBron James. We start off at number 5. And hey, if you want some American history, then Philadelphia is chock full of it. The Declaration of Independence was signed there. The United States Constitution was debated, framed, and signed during the 1787 Constitutional Convention there. And the city of Philadelphia served as the meeting site for both the first and second Continental Congresses. I mean, the franchise itself is based upon this history with their very name, the 76ers. So maybe the Philly fans will be thinking of this American history when they lob out a nickname based on one of America's greatest minds and one of America's greatest patriots. But I can't wait to hear them yelling, "Let's go, LeBronjamin Franklin!" And that comes in today at number 5. We move on to number 4. And while the city of Philadelphia does have a rich sports history with the Eagles, the 76ers, the Phillies, and the Flyers, do not forget that the city of Philadelphia does think of the character Rocky Balboa that was created by Sylvester Stallone as one of its own. Of course, the Rocky series is one of the most famous in movie history, and the original even won an Academy Award. But couldn't you just see Philly fans kind of running with that? Like introducing LeBron James, like, "In the blue corner, fighting out of the city of brotherly love, we have the aging champion, Rocky Balboa." That should be a lot of fun. Rocky Balboa comes in at number 4. We arrive at number 3. And like I said, the city of Philadelphia does have some illustrious history in sports. Greats like Wilt Chamberlain and Julius Erving, Allen Iverson. They've had Mike Schmidt, Reggie White, Donovan McNabb. I mean, they've had Harold Carmichael, Bobby Clark, and of course, Joe Frazier. Hey, I don't care how great you are. Philly fan is going to let you know if they see you doing something that they deem soft. So do not be surprised if you hear some Philly fans bestowing this next nickname on LeBron James, because I could totally see them saying, "Hey, didn't you used to be LeBron James?" That is exactly the kind of nickname that Philly fans would call someone. And it comes in today at number 3. We reach number 2. And we know that while LeBron will be joining a team that is primed to be very, very good, if there's a knock on this team in recent years, it has been that its best player, Joel Embiid, let's just say he might actually be Italian.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
In his 10 seasons playing in the NBA, Joel Embiid has played more than 60 games just four times, and just barely over 60 games. On average, Joel Embiid plays 49 games per season out of 82. I mean, let's be honest. Dude doesn't really like to play basketball all that much. But like I said, LeBron is now 41. This will be his 24th season. And let's also be real honest, he's missed his own share of games. LeBron has only played 82 games once in his entire career. And on average, he plays around 70 games per season. And that could slide even more this year as he is older. So I would imagine that hearing the nickname Joel Embiid's training room pal could be popular for LeBron in Philadelphia. And it comes in at number two. We reach the number one nickname that LeBron James will be given in the city of Philadelphia. And look, I understand LeBron is one of the greatest ever. I also know he does have a history of joining teams that are on the precipice of winning something instead of riding out the tough times and building the winner himself. We know LeBron wants to try to catch Michael Jordan with six titles. And that is where we get to our final nickname on this list. Because we know LeBron thinks of himself as like a special agent. A special agent that is coming to Philly to deliver a title.
Bond. James Bond.
And that is why the number one nickname on our list today is Chaser. Ring Chaser. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will continue to get ready for the college football and NFL seasons. We might have to take a look at some of the changes we're going to be seeing this season. Plus, we will keep you up on all that is going on in the sports world right now. So be sure you tune into The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Fragile. It must be Italian.